What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
All right, it is episode 151 of A Gal and a Gay Podcast. We are the Pop Culture Connoisseurs. I'm Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thanks for joining us.
And we have a kitty.
Uh-huh.
On my lap
on
right
lap.
Now.
Uh-huh. She's very insistent.
Sophie. Yes, mm-hmm. She's very excited that we are back podcasting.
I know. It's been a while.
It has been a while. So we kind of took a little bit of a break for the summer.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, we're just now getting into the middle of the hottest part of the summer here in the Kansas City area. So we've been spending some time at the pool.
Yes.
We've just had a lot of big projects kind of on our plate right now, but we are back.
We're back.
We are back.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome, you too. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
All right, so what are you watching this summer?
Well, Queer Eye season 2, top of my list. I've already binged all of it. I love this show dearly. It's so uplifting and sweet and fun, and I just Netflix really hit it out of the park with this one, because I think it's just the kind of feel good show you need, you know.
It is, especially in the times that we are living right now.
Yes, you know, and they tackle a lot of LGBT issues, which is great, and a lot of awareness, and I really just like that these guys are going into areas where maybe people don't know many LGBTQ people, or, you know, don't have a lot of haven't met a lot of them, and it may have a different thought process, you know, and they go in and they just kind of they are themselves, and they just kind of, you know, they're not trying to force anything on them or anything like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just so nice, you know, and this political climate and just the world that we live in, it's just nice to see these different people come together and really enjoy each other.
Yeah, know? It's great. It's interesting, and we've talked about this during 2016 and after the election, about how Hollywood and the entertainment industry, how it responds to whoever is in the White House,
right?
And how we will be seeing different forms of entertainment that will kind of help, sort of like bridge the gap, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that's a good, good
term.
We
are a very divided country.
Right.
No matter which side you are on.
Yep.
But we can, I mean, there's so much that we have in common. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people didn't pay a lot of attention to politics.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, oh, it's corrupt and this and that.
Right.
And we just don't pay attention, and whatever happens, happens. And then they get irate after the fact, after something's been decided. But now I feel like more people are engaged.
Absolutely.
And more people are paying attention. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult because we are hit with it every day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You don't even really get time off on the weekends.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Necessarily. But when you have a show like Queer Eye that really focuses on what brings us all together and the similarities, and I think it's a show that's really needed right now.
Absolutely.
And it's one that you can watch with anyone.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily have to be someone who is friendly with LGBT or an ally. I think a lot of people can learn a lot from these shows.
Absolutely. I really do. I really think so.
And the guys are a great mix.
They are a great mix. You know, just they all offer a different viewpoint, and they're just also positive just about the things that they're trying to teach these people that they're helping. And it's just, I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
I just really do.
Yeah. And we've talked before about when Queer Eye first came out on Netflix, and how I wasn't a really big fan of the original Queer Eye.
Yeah.
But I really like that it's just now called Queer Eye, not for the straight.
And right, like, exactly.
You know, I don't know. I just didn't, as a gay man, I really couldn't necessarily relate to it.
I get it.
Because I felt like they weren't a great mix.
Yes, I get it.
But again, looking back, maybe at that time, that's exactly what was needed.
Right.
That we really needed that just to kind of move the conversation along. And I think it's smart that they got, that's just called Queer Eye now, and they are doing makeovers and they're helping people who they're helping women, they're helping transgender people, they're helping gay men as well.
Yes.
Because there are these stereotypes that, oh, you're gay, so right. You know how to decorate, right. You know how to dress, you know how to this, and it's like,
that's nerdy.
And I couldn't relate to that.
Yeah, I get it, yeah.
And there are a lot of people out there who are kind of in the same boat. But, again, sometimes you have to, you know, you have to move, for progress to happen, you have to move it, you kind of have to push a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I think we are at a place where, you know, gay marriage is legal. There have been so many polls done in the last couple of years, and people are definitely more accepting.
Yes.
And so I think this is a great show for these times.
I agree. You know, and what I really do like about it is that a lot of the people they've chosen are from rural. So they filmed that one in Georgia in the Atlanta area, and some of them are from rural areas where religion is very big, and, you know, they may not be as accepting, or just, you know, they just haven't been exposed to or are known a lot about the LGBT community. And so I really like that, because they go in there and they share their feelings and their experiences with certain, you know, prejudices and that sort of thing. And I think it really opens up a lot of people's eyes, you know. And I don't know, they're bridging the gap, and it's really nice to see that, where someone who may be, you know, very conservative meets these very intelligent gay men and just, you know, kind of learns a little bit about, and they learn from each other. So anyway, it's just.
And so we have some pretty exciting news because Queer Eye is coming to Kansas City for the next two seasons. So they will be filming seasons 3 and 4 in Kansas City, starting in the middle of July up until the end of the year. A really good friend of mine is going to be part of the filming process.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so, and I've been extended the invitation to meet the team, the Fab Five, in about a week.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
So I'm sorry I can't take you with me.
I know, it's okay. I understand. Yeah. I'm a nobody. You're somebody.
I squeaked in.
You have better connections.
So we'll see. So it's just exciting for the area, and
absolutely
just to be able to, it just builds excitement. Kansas City in the last few years has really, really made a lot of progress.
Yes.
Not just from culturally, but just like the infrastructure, and like Kansas City is really putting itself on the map.
Right.
Obviously, sports has helped.
Yeah.
The Royals winning the World Series has helped, but also because they've made such improvements to the downtown area, it's making Kansas City a place that people want to visit.
Right.
And now with getting a new airport in a couple of years, I mean,
the growth
going to happen in the next few years could be incredible.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is Kansas City is a great town. It's a great area to live. So, I mean, and I know a lot of people don't know anything about Kansas City.
Right.
You know, it is in a flyover area, as they say. But it is a really great town. I do feel like it's mostly progressive, especially in the city limits. I mean, we are in Missouri, which is a red state, but, you know, I think they're
used to be a purple state. So.
Yeah, that's true. But I think they've made a lot of leaps and bounds, and the city is just great. It really is. So there's just a lot of great things here. So I'm really happy that it's growing.
Yeah.
You know, and getting the recognition it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me too.
They're really embracing change, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is needed.
And so this will be a great platform to kind of show off the city. And just from some of the things I've heard, what they're going to be doing will really showcase the city. And I mean, people will want to come here.
I cannot wait to see the Fab Five on the streetcar.
Oh, absolutely. That will definitely happen. I am interested to see what kind of vehicle they will be driving, because it's sort of Ford country over
here. It's true.
I think they might be driving. You never know.
You never know. It's right.
F-150.
Right.
But we'll see.
That's where they are made here. F-150s are made here. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, a lot of sponsorship opportunities.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes.
I'm sure. Yes. I'm sure deals are being worked out right now.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, who is your favorite?
Oh, my God. Jonathan is my absolutely favorite. I mean, I love each and every one of them. Mm-hmm. They are just, I love all of them, but Jonathan is probably my favorite just because he's so positive and he's so genuine and he's himself and he's so nice to, like, I just love him. I just love hearing him talk and he's so positive and uplifting and I love it.
And initially when I saw the trailers, I'm not going to like this guy at all.
Because he is very, outgoing.
Yeah, very outgoing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oof.
Right. Strong personality sometimes rubbed me the wrong way.
But then, you know, even after the first episode, I'm like, he is so genuine.
Right.
And it's not an act.
No, it's not an act. Exactly.
He just is.
Yeah, that's what I love about him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. He's just so, and he's so funny and mm-hmm. I just love everything about him. But I love them all. I mean,
it's a good mix.
Yeah. I mean, they're all great, and they all have really good, nice stories. Kamaro mm-hmm. is, you know, he's so uplifting. They're all uplifting in their own way, but anyway, they're all so, I just love all of them. Yeah. So
anyway, we will, if you're in the Kansas City area the next few months, look out for the Fab Five.
And
around the area.
If you have not watched Queer Eye, it's on Netflix. Do yourself a favor, do it.
Yeah.
So
season 2 is out right now.
Yeah. Binge it. Cry every episode. It's just it is a cleanse. It's a palate cleanser of all the terrible things that are happening in our world right now. Mm-hmm. So it'll make you feel better.
Stuff that we need to see.
Yeah.
Okay. So besides Queer Eye,
Handmaid's Tale. On the other end of the spectrum. Right.
So she watches Handmaid's Tale, and then the palate cleanser.
That's right. And then I gotta clear myself out with Queer Eye. I mean, it's such a phenomenal show. The acting, the writing. I mean, it's just. You know, it's fantastic. You know, I just finished season 2, and I mean, Elizabeth Moss is amazing. But they're all amazing. It's a great cast, and I really enjoy it. You know,
it's tough.
In this political climate, you know, it makes you think about things. But yeah, it's very good. It's heavy, but it's good.
Yeah. Let's see. So, season 2, there's still 2 episodes left.
No!
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was the finale.
No, postpartum is on July 4th, and then the next one is July 11th.
Oh,
there's still 2 more.
Oh.
There are 13 episodes this season. So, we're 2 behind right now, so...
Yeah, I'm good.
Interesting that the next one will be coming out on July 4th, Independence Day.
I know.
Yeah. We were also talking a little bit yesterday how you actually have started to really like Serena a little bit.
Yes, I really do. You know, it's one of those things where you love her and hate her. Like, you feel bad for her because she has been marginalized just like the other women, not as badly. But, you know, like...
She started it,
you know, and she thought she was going to be very, you know, she'd be very involved with it. And now she's reduced to knitting all day and that sort of thing. And she was this, you know, businesswoman, author, successful, strong woman. And now she, you know, they've done a really great job of sympathizing her and making you feel bad for her.
Right.
You know, and like there are these moments where her and Alfred June are almost friends, you know, and then something happens and it's not, and it's just, you know, I don't know. I really hope it ends with like Serena snapping out of it and her and June running off to Canada and bringing down Gilead. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, and the thing is, like, we were wondering at the end of season 1, it's like, can they really do season 2 justice? Because that sophomore slump can be
awful. They really have.
And they have done a great job. Obviously, we still have a couple episodes left, but it's really, really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I will say it is hard to watch. Some people can't watch it right now. It's just too depressing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there's still a little bit of hope. Yeah. Unlike The Walking Dead.
You're right. Let's, yeah.
Which.
Yeah.
Wow, The Walking Dead. That'll be for a whole other podcast.
Right. It's.
Anyway.
I don't know. It's pretty bad when you have two dedicated viewers who gave up on you. So I'm just saying, Walking Dead, you need to. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
But Handmaid's Tale, we highly recommend
it. Highly recommend it.
You can watch
it
on Hulu. Yeah. All the season one and two are available on Hulu.
I really thought that was a season finale. I thought I read it was, but anyway, good. Nope. Good, good. Then I got two more episodes to go.
Two more, okay. Great. Excellent. Yeah. Okay, so what else are you watching? Anything? I've been watching a little bit. You haven't watched Dear Black People.
No, I haven't.
Sorry. Dear White People. Dear White People. So good.
Yeah. I've heard great things. I haven't watched it yet, though. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of
it. You should. It is a good... It's upbeat, but yet, you know, it has a social commentary that is spot on.
Spot on, yeah.
Right, I imagine. But it is so well written. It's clever. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters are fantastic. So yeah. I highly recommend.
Yeah,
and
I need
they're
to
only
watch
about
it.
30.
Yeah, I like that a lot minutes, too. That's so good. I'm trying to think of what else I've watched. I can't remember, but
yeah,
I know. I watch stuff all the time.
Okay, any movies this summer? Are you going to Ant-Man on Tuesday?
Oh shit, probably not. But I forgot that was coming. I don't know.
That's supposed to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know.
So there's a screening on Tuesday.
I haven't seen a lot of movies this summer.
I know. You had a vacation and
some other stuff, so I wasn't really able to. What about you? You went and saw Jurassic World last?
So saw Jurassic World last, and we also watched Ocean's 8.
Oh, when did you see that?
Ocean's 8 last weekend when we were in Cape Cod.
Oh, that's fun. So, was it good?
It was good.
I really want to see it.
It was good. Yeah. Oh, there's such a great mix.
I know.
And it's funny because Anne Hathaway she steals
really?
The show. Yeah.
I like Anne Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
People I know people don't like.
Not.
I know, but I like her.
Those acceptance speeches have been
not
well received. Ocean's 8, really good.
Yeah.
If you're looking for cameos from other Ocean's characters, you'll be disappointed. I still feel there should have been one that was in there.
Uh-huh.
I'm not spoiling it for anybody, but it should have been in there, but it wasn't. So that was the only thing that really disappointed me, that it's like, hey... I know you want to keep your distance
right.
from the other Ocean movies, but yet it's still the same.
Right.
And you reference the others.
Uh-huh. Well, Sandra Bullock's character is
the sister
Danny Ocean's
of Danny
sister.
Ocean. Right.
Right. George Clooney.
Right.
Right.
So that was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But Sandra Bullock, fantastic. Cate Blanchett, fantastic.
Yeah.
Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
I mean, Rihanna.
Yeah. Mindy Kaling.
It was superb.
Superstar cast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Superstar cast.
So highly recommend that one. Jurassic World and second one, Fallen Kingdom. I mean, it's another Jurassic. I think I kind of liked it better than the first one. Not Jurassic World, but Jurassic Park, but Jurassic
World. Yeah, Jurassic World.
Yeah, I think I liked it better than
I've heard that.
And it's
I've
so funny because there are so many shots of... Bryce Dallas Howard's shoes.
Oh, really?
She doesn't have high heels on. Like she, you know, they poke
like the
fun
first
a little
one,
bit.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Which is funny because there's so many times they started her shoes and go up.
That's
and, like,
funny. Yeah. Okay.
So they
mentioned her seat.
So I appreciate
yeah, okay.
that. Like, okay, you guys got such a hard. People
I know.
Gave such a hard time about that. Then they're basically poking fun that. Yep, funny. she's wearing shoes.
Sensible
that she can
shoes
run
in the jungle.
Yeah. So that was another good one. Infinity War. That was good.
Yeah.
Ant-Man. Is coming up this week, a screening, and I will try and get some kind of review, whether it's on our Facebook page or something up before our next podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But from everything that I've been seeing and reading, it's fun. It's just a good...
I'm sure it will be. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, this week, I got my press pass.
I know.
For Comic-Con.
I know.
In the mail. I'm still... looking to find someone to room with. find a way to stay out there. I haven't even got my airline ticket yet, but I will be there. I will be there. So it'll be fun. I'm excited to have the press pass.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So I'll be able to do a lot of different interviews, mm-hmm. and stuff like that that we'll post all over the place. So
yeah.
So next year you will have to go.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't get a press pass this year, so. Yeah,
anyway. Okay, so also we've been talking a lot about pop culture and movies and TV shows, but art is also another form of pop culture.
This is very true.
Yes. And so, and we were talking about Kansas City, how it's really been embracing a lot of progress and change.
There's a very large art community here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely. Lots of great artists.
Yep. So there's this new exhibit. It's called Chromatic Connection. And it basically features a lot of up and coming artists. And it just opened recently at the Ava Reynolds Fine Art Gallery. It's Prairie Fire, if you're familiar with the Kansas City area. That's in Overland Park. And I got a chance to talk with two of the artists that are showcasing at the Chromatic Connection, Brady Legler and Dan Vanderhoof. And here's my interview.
Here you go.
All right, so Brady and Dan now join us to talk a little bit about the Chromatic Connection. All right, Brady, so how did you get involved with Speak Up?
So Speak Up really came about through family friends of mine, Dr. Karen and Dr. Steve Arkin, who unfortunately lost their son recently and started this foundation. And that's how I sort of got involved, was through them and living in New York. And I've had personal experiences and friends go through this. And so it just seemed something that was the timing and the everything just sort of came together for this to work out.
So Dan, how did you get involved then?
With Speak Up?
Yeah.
It was just part of the show. I think we all kind of talked about it and planned to have them be part of it. It was great because it kind of gave the show another dimension, another sense of meaning to everything. So,
yeah. And
have you guys personally had anyone close to you who has committed suicide?
I just had somebody that a close family friend a couple months ago, actually.
Wow. So.
And I have as well, but not recently, luckily, but yeah. And I think that's the thing, is everyone knows someone who's gone through this or has talked about it or felt depressed or couldn't reach out. And that's what Speak Up does, is it's a organization that reaches out to kids, mainly teens, middle school, high school, and obviously adults, but it's just a great new outlet for people who feel like there's no one to talk to or speak to, that that they could speak to this foundation. So
Dan, we'll go back to you. So when I feel like kind of art might be kind of an outlet, I guess, for people to, I mean, a lot of people bottle up their feelings.
With a lot of Brady's work, it's a lot of it's kind of a serene place to go to with a lot of his artwork. It's very calming in a certain way. Some of my work is that way, but also some of it kind of deals with the hysteria of life and kind of more of a hysterical place of mind, I would say. So maybe it's like two different aspects, and you know, you can relate to that also. See, oh, other people go through certain things, and so I think there's two different ways that the art can help people, or they can relate to it a certain way.
Yeah. Brady, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think that's why art meshed well together for this show, because it sort of shows two different sides, two different styles, but our colors and stuff were so similar and abstract and sort of positive. That I think that's why everything sort of worked well for this show, with Speak Up being involved and our two sort of sides of the art. I think it all just sort of came together pretty well. And it was weird that we started this right before the whole Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain thing, which just sort of gave it more relevance and more, because it's true, it's not really shown on news. It's not sort of publicized as much as it should be. So I think the timing and everything just sort of came together perfectly.
Yeah. So speaking of colors, blue is a very important color to you. Tell us why.
So as I'm always wearing blue. So blue, just to make a long story short, my father was diagnosed with a very rare anaplastic thyroid carcinoma about 15 years ago. So the whole story that how blue came about was a family friend of ours told him to think of the color blue whenever he's getting radiation or chemo, because it's a natural sort of healing color. So that's, and he had more radiation and chemo than sort of on record. And so it just became ingrained in all of us, because it was kind of a last hope effort. And 15 years later, he's still here. And I've worn blue every day for the past 15 years. And I don't think I could leave the house without wearing blue, even if I tried. So blue's, I mean, it's made a huge impact on all of my work. Even if it's a completely, you know, sort of like red canvas back here, there's a layer of blue underneath it. My jewelry has blue in it now. And so blue's played a big role in my design and everything, really.
Dan, when you're working on art, how do you choose colors?
I wish I had more of a meaningful story like that, but with me, it's just a very intuitive thing. And a lot of times I'll start out with irrational colors and irrational shapes. And from there, I have to pull it back into a state of control. So I just choose whatever is closest to me, and then, you know, from there I work it out. So.
Okay. So when people, go down to the Ava Reynolds Fine Art Gallery at Prairie Fire in Overland Park, tell us a little bit, and Dan, you can start, tell us a little bit about some of the art, your art that people will be able to, see.
Basically, I have a bunch of large paintings and their faces and portraits. And then there's some smaller paintings that I have, but most of them are these big kind of abstract looking faces. And they're all pretty colorful. There's a lot of blue in them. So, they're all just kind of, they're all created from a place of chaos. And then, like I said, I have to bring it back to control, but it's balancing color and shape. And,
So there's a lot of blue. So obviously, naturally, it would mesh with
gray. Yeah. I think the colors naturally really mesh together. Like, it's not like they're competing, because there's different chromatic qualities of the color, but, you know, they kind of complement each other. So
Brady, what about the art that we will be able to see when we go down there of yours?
So, you know, pretty similar. They're, both of our work, it's usually pretty large. So both of our works, it's very large, very colorful, like he was saying. And I have rugs there as well. I was saying earlier, I have sort of design ADD. I can't really stop it. So when you go to the show, you'll see a lot of color and a lot of blue. So it's an upbeat positive feeling when you walk into the gallery.
What's your favorite piece?
Oh God, that's a tough question. I would have to say it's called Current, would be my favorite piece. But that's a tough, very tough question. It changes daily, so.
What about you, Dan? Do you have a favorite piece that's down there that people should look out for?
I can't answer that question. it is a hard one to.
It is.
I think as an artist, you know, you can always see things that you would want to tweak, you know?
So, oh, yeah.
That is true.
I would say there's a painting called Double Vision that I have that is just everything kind of worked out really well. So it's that would probably be my favorite. So watch out for Double Vision.
Double Vision. All right. So, Dan, what are you working on now?
I'm always working on new paintings. Right now I'm working on some more kind of portraits, abstract faces.
And Brady, I know you're here in Kansas City for a few more days.
Yes, yes. So
do you work
on
stuff while you're here?
Yeah. It's nice to work on stuff here. I have a little more room to sort of sprawl out here in Kansas City than I do back in New York. But right now, since the show's over, I'm painting as well, but I'm on a jewelry push right now. I'm about to launch my second line of jewelry in the next week or month. So it's a jewelry kick right now. So hopefully here in town in the next couple weeks, you'll be able to find me at Tivol's, the local jewelry store here.
Where do you want people to look at your work? Your website, Facebook, both?
Both. Yeah, really anything and everything. Facebook, Instagram, the website, just bradylegler.com. Anything and everything.
All right, Dan, what about you? Where can people check out your work?
You could go to my website, danvanderhoof.com, and then Instagram, Dan Vanderhoof.
All right, guys, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you, Mitch.
Yeah. So, some very creative artists.
Yeah.
For a very important cause.
I'm always very in awe of people who can do really great art, because it's like I just don't have that creativity in me. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it comes out in other ways.
I was going to say you have... Yeah.
Right. But I've always... My sister can draw and paint, and I'm always in awe. And my mom, they are both very artsy, and I wish I was, but I'm not. So...
Well, that's anyway. Why there are other people who can do
right,
it. They,
exactly.
They fill in for us. So here are just some quick facts about it. And again, this was a very important cause for Speak Up. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. for all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, approximately 105 Americans die by suicide. And there is one death by suicide in the U.S. every 12 minutes. So...
Yeah.
We've been hearing more and more about suicide.
Right.
Just recently, over the last few years, I remember as a news reporter how we were discouraged from pitching stories about suicide because
mm-hmm.
of the news management's, they were worried that it would actually come across like we were giving people ideas on how to commit suicide.
Yeah.
But then again, I remember, you know, the one time a year we got to do a suicide story was Suicide Awareness Month
right.
or Suicide Awareness Day mm-hmm. or whatever. And every time I would, you know, when I would talk to somebody, whether it's a survivor or someone who lost a loved one, they're like, you guys need to be doing more stories about this because people think that they are alone.
Yeah.
And I was at a TV station right when I got to Kansas City where one of the main talent on
air.
Oh, yeah. Committed suicide. And I know it really changed that newsroom and that station and how we approached stories and how sometimes the news will go after victims of things. And that really, it really put things in perspective for them about how important it is of when, whether, whatever kind of tragedy, whether it's suicide or violence, that you need to be respectful.
Absolutely.
You need to put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
Again, I remember as a news reporter, when I was, you know, assigned to do a story like that, I would always approach it with, hey, we, you know, we know this is a really difficult time. Let's, if you, is there just a picture you can share of this person? And when you're ready to tell that person's story, then let us know. We're always there. But, you know, again, for that station, it really put things into perspective and it really changed how they report the news.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's just, it is something, you know, we've had two high profile suicides recently in the news. Kate Spade, who's a Kansas City native, Anthony Bourdain, you know, and it just, it goes to show you suicide, depression, mental illness, it touches everybody, every walk of life. Just because you're famous and successful doesn't mean you're happy. And so if you, the biggest thing is that remember that you're not alone and that you can get help. Reach out to anybody. I mean, you are not alone. Right. There's lots of resources online, a friend, a family member, a coworker, just, you know, if you're struggling, get help. You're not alone. There's somebody to help you. So that's the biggest message, I think. So it's just, you got to remember that.
Yeah. And there, I mean, there are ways to get around reporting exactly what happened, especially with the case of the newsroom I was talking about. They didn't get in the specifics of how that person did it.
And you don't have to.
It's just but by suicide. And doing stories, I think that, you know, it's selfish. Suicide is selfish. You are affecting so many people. And, but then again, on the, you know, the flip side, there needs to be more services, more awareness that there are places to get help. And, you know, I mean, there's so many cases of tying mental illness into violence, whether it's suicide or violence. Shootings and mass shootings and things like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's bad.
It's tough, especially for young people. I mean, just in the past 5 years, suicide amongst kids is really, it's tough. I mean, we've had to report on that a lot over the past just few years, you know, and so it's really important. If you have kids, if you know some kids, you know, just keep an eye on them.
Did you ever watch 13 Reasons?
Yeah.
I don't think that helps.
No, I don't think so. I didn't particularly like the way they portrayed depression. And it wasn't, because in my experience with depression, it was nothing like that. So I just I don't think that really... I think it missed the mark, what I'm trying to say. I just don't think it really,
And so, I heard season two was even worse.
Yeah, I haven't watched season two. I haven't really.
So it kind of romanticizes it.
Yeah, I don't know. A little bit in that it's almost like she was doing it for revenge. And I just, I personally do not, that most suicide cases are not. It's not a, I'm doing this to make you, to see, like, here's what you made me do, that sort of thing. It's most people do it because they're hopeless and helpless. They feel helpless and they just feel like that's the only way that they're gonna solve their problems, you know. So anyway, that's what my it rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah
For sure, especially if teenagers are watching that. And I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and that's just kind of what we were going back to, how important pop culture can be to any,
absolutely
any culture. And so, yeah, anyway, but it is a conversation definitely worth having.
Absolutely.
So
yeah. Pop culture, you know, I'm gonna bring up the Supernatural fandom because I'm part of that, but yes, I mean, they are very big on mental health. They have a Jared Padalecki has struggled with depression and mental illness, and he started a campaign, Always Keep Fighting, and it's, they raise money for mental illness awareness, mm-hmm. and depression and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's, if you can find a group like that that's very supportive, that can help too. So
yeah
anyway,
that's good. That's, and it's very responsible,
and I think there are a lot of fandoms I think too that can help, mm-hmm. that embrace that sort of thing. So
yeah very true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well guys, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us today. We are back doing podcasts, so mm-hmm. we'll post a couple more this month.
Yeah,
and yeah, thanks for listening. I guess you can always find us on all the social media.
We're on social media at A Gal and a Gay. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We also have a website, agalandagaypodcast.com. So yeah, you can reach out to us any of those ways. So yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.